Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in your presence again. We've got quite a bit of time, and I'm sure we're going to enjoy ourselves together. Right? Okay, so if you by any chance see somebody, you know, falling asleep beside you, you have the pastor's authority to gently nudge that person. You know, I'm speaking on behalf of the pastor here. Okay. It's actually really wonderful when, after you have a senior pastor, and our other senior pastor, they've already spoken, and then they say I should speak. So it's easy for me. All I have to try to do is just to repeat what both of them have said. And if you say you don't like it, and then I can say, I didn't say it. The pastor said it first. You know, so, okay, let's start. Let me start with what you expect me to start with, which is the icebreaker. And I can assure you, this particular one, right, you all know it. Not just the wife alone. You all know it. My icebreaker is, my daughter is watching on YouTube, so I'm sure I'm going to get back home and she will tell me that is not how to say the name because it's a Spanish name. But this is how I know how to say it. Who is Horatio Gates Stafford? Anybody know? Horatio Gates Stafford. Horatio, what's the name? Horatio Stafford, Gates Stafford. Anybody, Horatio Gates Stafford. Anybody heard that name before? Nobody. And this is, of course I know Pastor would know. I know Pastor would know. Who is the Pastor Ade?
It is well with my soul.
It is well with your soul. It is indeed well with your soul. Yeah, so, the guy wrote the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, right? And we are talking about shine the light. You see, two things that I noticed, right? And the first thing is that so many times we see things, but we don't know the background. And the second thing that I noticed is that none of you watches Songs of Praise. Right? I thank my late mother-in-law for that because I watched Song of Praise and 2 weeks ago, Songs of Praise was based on the life of this guy that wrote that hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you because you have called us and you have sent us as your light to the world. And you have commanded and instructed us to shine our light so bright that people will see the light in us and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So, Lord, we just pray that as we go into your word, the entrance of your word will give light and will give understanding to the simple. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I was challenged when I was watching Songs of Praise 2 weeks ago, and I was challenged because I thought what was being said was so real and so practical, right, that I needed to share it. I'll tell you what, Songs of Praise 2 weeks ago was based on the life of this guy, and there was another lady who is still living called Mina. Our two daughters were murdered the same day, right? And she came and she talked about how she forgave the murderer and how God has used that experience in our life to beam the light of Christ, because she's a Christian, to other people. And I wondered, you know, in situations like this, how do people like that survive? So remember that we are looking at shining your light, which is in Matthew 5. I'll read some part of Matthew 5 to us before I go into my main reading. So if I look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 11 first. Verse 10 says, I'm reading the Amplified. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction of regardless of his outward condition, the born-again, those that know Christ, the situation they find themselves, regardless of their outward condition, you are blessed. He said, are you people, and when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account, be glad and supremely joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, strong, and intense. For in the same way, people persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus Christ here is saying, right, I'm talking to those that are born again, those that have repented of their sins, that have known me as Lord and Savior. Then if I read verses 14 and 16, which is where the theme for the month is actually taken, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine. I'll come back to that again. Months ago, when I was given the opportunity to preach, and I'm talking months ago, I preached about the dimensions of God. I don't know if anybody still remembers. And I actually talked about God's dimension is love. God's dimension is light. God's dimension is glory. God's dimension, right, is eternal life. God's dimension is creation, is Alpha, is Omega, is Omni everything that we know. That's his dimension. So it's actually quite amazing that we started with the dimension of love, because the first thing that we talked about was, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love. And then we talked about the gift of the Spirit. And after that, we're now talking about light, shining your light. And it is actually also amazing to notice that Jesus Christ, when he was talking about us, he's also talking about people who have seen the light, who have experienced the light, who are born again. These are the people that Jesus said, shine your light, because you cannot shine what you don't have. See, as I'm talking to you, I do not have any torch or anything, so I can't shine it. If somebody hands it over to me, then I can shine it, and then you will see the light that is coming from the torch. Weeks ago, when Pastor David was preaching, he was talking about, you know, the sun and the moon, right? How the sun shines its whole light, right, on the moon. And then the moon shines that light back, right, to us, and we see it. Okay? Is that correct? 100% science? Absolutely not. Because it's not the whole surface of the moon that faces the sun at any time. In actual fact, there are parts of the moon that does not see the light of the sun at all. So they don't shine anything back. The one that we see is the side that faces the sun and shines back to us. Even on Earth, there are places on Earth that have like 3 months daylight, and the rest they have like winter. So it's a bit dark and there is no sun. And I was thinking about this, and I thought about when Jesus said, when Pastor Adi was preaching, talked about the eye is the light of the body. If there is darkness in you, Jesus said, how big is that darkness? Right? But when the Bible refers to God, it says, God is light. In him is no what? It's no darkness at all. So God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. Do we believe that? So, and we believe from the scriptures, right, that the God of light has called us into his light, right, into his dear son. So we are children of light. We are not children of darkness. So when Jesus said, let your light so shine, so Jesus is trying to say, we should check ourselves. If there is any element of darkness in us, right, let us bring that element of darkness to light, because light will reveal everything. One of the times when we were sharing scriptures, my wife and myself were talking about, you know, trust and love. And I said to my wife, I believe that it's easier to trust than to love than to trust. I don't know whether it's actually, do you think the same way? But I believe that it's easier to love than to trust. And the reason why I believe that sometimes is that if you say I should fall backwards and you will catch me, I would probably think long and hard before I do it. Why? Because I don't want to fall flat on the ground. I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to injure myself. But if you say, you know, love me with something, I probably will find it easier, right? If it's something that I can part with suddenly or without thinking about it, I would I would love you with that thing. Do we understand? So getting the light of God means we need to trust God with everything. You know, and everything means everything. It means we have to come to Him. And this is one of the things that surprised me. I know we've got plenty of time, but I will try to share. When I actually was listening to some of these stories, and the first one that I asked us in my icebreaker was this Spafford guy. What is it about him? All right, let me try to read some of his songs to us. The lyrics go like this. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for me. It is well with my soul. Now, let me then tell you something. Just let's hang on to that song, right? And I would tell us something, or we should make up our own mind. This incredible story of faith belongs to Horatio Gates Spafford. The guy lived between 1828 to 1888. Much like Job, he placed his trust in God during his life's prosperity, but during his calamities. A devout Christian who'd immersed himself in scriptures, many years of his life were joyous. He was a prominent Chicago lawyer whose business was thriving. Horatio owned several properties throughout the city. He and his beloved wife had four beautiful daughters and one son. Life was more than good. It was blessed. But faith, no matter how great, does not spare us from adversity. Just as Horatio hit his pinnacle of his profession and financial success, things began to change. It began with the tragic loss of their son. Not long thereafter, the great Chicago fire destroyed nearly every real estate investment Horatio owned. Just a few years later, in 1873, Horatio decided to treat his wife and daughters to a much-needed escape from the turmoil. He sent them on a boat trip to Europe, with plans to join them shortly after wrapping up some business in Chicago. Just a few days later, he received a dreadful telegram from his wife, saved alone. It bore the excruciating news that family ship had wrecked and all four of his daughters had perished. In 1873, Horatio was on his way to meet his heartbroken wife, passing over the same sea that had just claimed the lives of his remaining children. It was then that he put his pen to paper and the timeless him was born. It is well with my soul. When I listened to this 2 weeks ago, I put myself in that situation. And I was actually clinging and thinking to God, will I shine, right, in this type of situation? And I was reading some of the comments about people who have listened to this song, to the words of this song, when peace like a river, when peace like a river. And they've listened to the words of this song, and they have been influenced in their lives. It has changed their life because this guy refused to give in to the circumstance around him. And in spite of his situation, in spite of the circumstance, in spite of where he finds himself, he managed to say, it is well with my soul. And I just want to, one, encourage us and challenge us, because I know that we are human. And like me, I know that we go through situations, and I know that we're not better off. And whereas sometimes when we read about Job, we think that the story of Job is so far, far away that it never touches us. But this happens, or this happened not too far, about 100 years ago. And the hymn that he wrote still challenges us. But sometimes when we listen to the hymn and we hear, it is well with my soul, we will probably be thinking of a guy that has got everything going. Everything is hunky-dory. You know, your body doesn't ache in the morning. You know, you feel okay. You don't feel tired. You don't feel the headache. You know, you can walk till 12 at night like my wife does. You know, and everything will be okay. And everything is going perfectly. You know, somebody, when I was reading online, was saying, if it were you, at which point in your life will you write this song? Will you write the song when you had all the properties, the children and the wife? Or will you write this song when you've lost everything? 5 children he had. The son died, and then the 4 daughters drowned. And he lost his properties. And then we look at the book of Job and you think, oh, it can only happen to Job. But the guy came and said, it is well with my soul. And I was trying to recollect what exactly Job said. And there were so many things Job said. One of the things that Job said is, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I just want to use these words, right, these encounters to challenge us. Because sometimes, as Christians, we find ourselves in situations where we think, how on earth can I shine my light? How can I lift other people up when I'm in this situation? Right? When I'm in this scenario, I've got more problems than the people I'm talking to, so how can I help anybody? But trust me, right? God that says, shine the light, right, is the one that shines his light first on us, and then we shine that light on others. You know, Pastor David was saying that there are many activities that you could do, giving our testimonies, that sometimes we might think, oh, who wants to hear my testimony? Giving our testimonies might actually be a way of changing other people's lives. Because people might be going through scenarios that we can never or we would never imagine. But God knows. And God is saying, shine your light. When I was listening to the lady 2 weeks ago, the Mina lady that lost her two daughters, they were murdered by the same guy, same day. And she was talking about forgiveness, that she got to a point that God helped her to forgive the guy who killed her daughters. And as a Christian, because some of these things, I have a very simple mind. And I'm thinking, will I be able to forgive in this type of situation? She has not only forgiven the guy, God is actually using her to reach out to other people who are in situations like that, so much so that she gives lectures to the police in Scotland about bereavement and other people, and how God is using her to shine her light. You know, and I'm challenging us, irrespective of our situation, irrespective of where we are with the Lord, to shine the light. The other song, and I mean, it's funny that I'm bringing song. The other thing that I actually want to encourage us with, right? This time, because we all know the song, I would say the song, and maybe you'll be able to tell me under what circumstance it was written. And the song is Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundant flow. Blessed be your name. It was written by Max Bert Redman. So we sing it very often. Do you know the situation? Yes. They penned this, actually penned the song when they had a couple of miscarriages between the wife and the husband. They lost their pregnancies not once, not twice. And in that situation, they wrote the song, Blessed Be Your Name. Surprised? So what I'm saying is that Jesus said, shine the light. Shine the light, irrespective of our situation. Shine the light. The light is Christ. So let's shine the light. But I want to kind of encourage us, because sometimes when we come up to preach, we preach about certain things that we think, oh, is too theoretical, or is like, oh, you know, it doesn't really affect me. But in all honesty, we all go through situations that we don't understand. We all go through phases in our lives. And if it's not that it's happening to other Christians, we probably think, oh, maybe they are not as serious. No, they are serious. That is why it's happening to us. So maybe if you are actually doubting yourself and say, the reason why I'm going through this, or it's maybe because I'm not a Christian, those before us have gone through it. Those that are present are going through it. But God still expects us, irrespective. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, irrespective of our outward situation, to still be able to shine that light, to still be able to show to others that there is salvation in Christ, to still be able to show a little kindness, to still be able to show the world that in Christ alone, our hope is found, and in no other but in Jesus Christ alone. I know that this is a season that people feel more lonely than any other season. I mean, from my very little experience, because I remember one of the Christmas that we were, we organized a Christmas dinner in the church here. And one of the first people that promised they were going to come actually decided to commit suicide on that Christmas day. And we were dealing with that, right? Though we don't know them because we used leaflets that we distributed. And a lot of things happens on Christmas Day, right? People feel so lonely. People feel so rejected. People feel so unloved. But it's not only Christmas, it's every day. And people want people that can actually show them love. You know, love, as we said, is God's dimension. They want people to show them light. Light is God's dimension. And we are the appointed people because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is built on a hill that cannot be hidden. But it's left to us to actually decide whether we are going to change, take the challenge of saying, I'm not just saying for Christmas, you know, like there's this advert years ago that used to say, dog is not just for Christmas. So we're not just for Christmas. God has put us here to be the salt. He has put us here to be the light. He has put us here to make a difference in the life of your neighbors, in the life of other Christians, in the lives of people we meet. He has called us. But it does not mean that we would not have problems. It does not mean that we do not already have problems. It does not mean that problems will still not come. But what it does mean is that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And as long as we continue to show our side, right, to the Son of God, the living light, it will shine upon us so that we can shine back to the world. You know, I think that's all I want to actually share with us. And I just pray that as we continue to look at this shine the light, and we will not just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. I've shared on the Wednesday prayer meeting before that sometimes we might feel like we feel about Job, that there are some people that are specially called to reach out to the world. That's not what my Bible says. He has called all of us, go into the world and make disciples of all men. It's not going to be, it's not easy. I mean, sometimes, listen, we go out there during huts to do huts. Unlike my wife, I was born in Nigeria. The weather is guaranteed to be hot, right? And you know every day that you wake up that there's going to be sunshine. Here it's not the same. I've actually been out there in real snow, you know, that I was wishing I could be in Nigeria or somewhere hot. But it's not about that. It's about what God can do through us when we are obedient to God's will. And that's the challenge for all of us. You know, whether we are old, whether we are young, whether we are very young, God is calling us to say, shine your light. Whatever your situation, shine your light and let the world see. God bless us.